in our message. Let us go to the Lord in our prayer of illumination. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning in prayer and we thank you for our children. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for the friends that are present here in this house of worship. We thank you for the time spent in worship of you. We ask your blessings on the words that we will read this morning as well as the message that has been prepared for us. Lord, as we begin our Lenten season, help us to respond as the children did this morning. Help us to be resistant to those things that we know are temptations. Lord, we come to you and ask that you lift us up now in word and in message. We ask all these things in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning comes out of Mark 1, 9 through 15. I am in the New Living Translation, so if you're reading along with me in a different translation, it may read just slightly different. This scripture and this passage speaks directly to the baptism and temptation of Jesus. And in Mark, unlike Luke and in Matthew, it is very short, and I'll speak to that a little bit here in the message. But what I enjoyed about this passage in Mark this morning that we will read together is that it's short and to the point. And it makes direct, it gives direct information, direct confidence in the Word of God as to what we should do and what we should look forward to. So let's now go and read verses 9 through 15, Mark 1. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," Jesus announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe in this good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, I welcome you to Bethel Presbyterian Church on our 277th year of existence and ministry. To all of our friends present here in the sanctuary, welcome. To all of our members, welcome home. Today is an important day in our Christian lives as we begin the first Sunday of Lent, as we look at the things that tempt us in our lives and how we will respond in God's Word. Please know that I have lifted all of you up in prayer this week. I know your lives are super busy, and I'm almost certain they will continue to be as you move throughout the year. For our visitors and our new faces, some time ago in the beginning of the year, I basically gave a sermon entitled Me and God, and it's about a book that our members are writing together in this house and family of faith. So I just remind all of you that as you face the challenges of this world, today you still remain in chapter 2 of your book, not for very much longer, and you are now already on page 57. So without further ado, I ask you to make it count. Time is clicking along at a rapid pace. It just seems like yesterday that we celebrated Christmas, and here we are in the first Sunday of Lent. This morning, as we come out of Ash Wednesday and steam headlong into Lent, I want to talk to you about the tempter, and I also want to remind each of you who you are and what God has done to not only give you the blessings that we share with each other and independently, but what God has done to get you here, to bring you here this morning. And finally, I want to call your attention to your duty and obligation to God. It is most appropriate as we enter this season of repentance and to focus on God and His plan to talk about our obligations and our duty to our Lord and Savior. Now, what I'm about to tell you, all of you know very well, but I'm going to remind you. Thus, in this statement, I'm just simply bringing you up to speed and reminding you of the things past. You see, God decided long ago that the only way that you and I would ever be redeemed was for Him to simply enter into the world in a very personal and intimate way with each one of us. And just like that, through that decision, in an instant, our Savior Jesus Christ was born. Through Jesus, God decides to enter this world to stand alongside those who suffer and who are lost and who are the victims of the evil found in this world that we live in now and the world at that time. Through Jesus, God proclaims the possibility of a new relationship, one that allows us access to His glory and to His kingdom. I remind you that Jesus is not only the gate to heaven and not only the gatekeeper to heaven, He is also the key to heaven. In our scripture this morning, Jesus demonstrates His great power through His victory over Satan and the temptations that He brought Him in the wilderness. This morning, scripture declares Jesus a victorious individual over temptation. This action of Jesus, this victory that we celebrate from this story found in Mark, should encourage each of us as we face similar temptations in our own lives. It should prove to us that we simply can defeat those temptations because we are faithful. With Jesus' help, we can stand up to anything. Now, many of us would say, Derek, anything? And I would declare to you, based on Scripture and God's Word this morning, it's anything. You can stand up to anything as long as you stand with Jesus Christ and in your faith. Not that you need to be reminded of this, but under our own power, we are helpless individuals. But in Christ, we are always victorious. Victory requires all of us to make a conscious decision to turn our backs on the world's sin and turn our hearts into Jesus. Turn our hearts into Jesus. The tempter spent a betterment of 40 days trying to break Jesus down. And although we recognize that time or this season in our faith, make no mistake, we recognize what Jesus went through the story in the wilderness. But make no mistake, this tempter that is spoken about in Scripture this morning will spend our entire lifetime trying to break each one of us down. As I told you earlier this morning, I chose Mark, the accounts that are found in Mark, I chose them in the story of temptation because they were brief and to the point. Thus, it does not mention the tempter's challenges to Jesus specifically, much like Matthew and Luke do. So I want to spend just a second or two this morning capturing a little more detail in what Jesus endured in the wilderness. The first trial Jesus faced with temptation was to satisfy simply His hunger. Yet there is more here than meets the eye. For it is a temptation to use his God-given power for his own personal use. You see, that's what the devil was trying to tempt him to do, was to use his power as our Savior, his power given to him by God for his own personal use. It really wasn't because he was trying to feed him at all. It was he wanted him to change into being the God that he declared to be. Certainly we know this is possible, as the children even indicated. After all, the gospel teaches us about Christ feeding the multitudes and turning water into wine. So he certainly had the ability to turn stones into bread. I too agree with our children. Here in the gospel, the tempter is pushing Jesus to misuse the power he has, the power that is a gift from God. Oftentimes we find ourselves today, people of faith, being tempted to misuse our power given to us by God. The second trial Jesus is faced with is to worship his tempter. What would be the reward of that action, I ask you this morning? What would be the reward of that? Well, I think it's simple, and most of you are probably thinking correctly. It's simply power. It would be the authority and glory he would gain as governor, as ruler of the whole world and of all the kingdoms. What power that would be. Think about that for a second. He would be immediately wealthy and influential. Fast forward some 2,000 plus years ago, look at the temptation that exists today. For individuals, corporations, multinationals, nations all over the world. As I said earlier, the tempter is still in our midst, in our lives, tempting humanity with the promise of great worldly power and wealth. We see that everywhere today. Take a look at the world today. Look at it in your own perspective. In many arenas, the tempter is actually gaining ground. The third challenge Jesus receives from the tempter is to throw himself from a great height to prove that he is truly the Son of God and call upon the angels to save him and that God will protect him from all of this danger. Imagine the scene of Jesus had he agreed to jump. What would have happened? Imagine the crowds that would have gathered. We all know the tempter loves to display his power over his subjects. We have seen that in pure evil in our lives. So make no mistake, he would have called a crowd if Jesus chose to leap. But to jump and survive, Jesus would had to have used his power, his angels, to save him, thus propelling himself into glory for himself, not for his Father. Again, the temptation here is yielded great power. It's all about power. It's all about power of the tempter in trying to convince Jesus to use the power given to him by God, to take all the glory and honor for himself. So one way we can think about these temptations as we study the time in the wilderness and look at what Jesus faced is to consider them as temptations to usurp God's power, to misuse or abuse God's power, and to take that power as one's own glory. The honor that rightfully belongs only to God. And it is hardly need saying that when faced with these temptations, Jesus dismisses them. And he denies the tempter through the power simply to control him. However, today we don't need to look very far in a world to find those who are preoccupied with themselves. We don't need to look very far in a world who we see where people are trying to acquisition power and authority. The wielding of power over other individuals, corporations, markets, economies and nations, the use of vast resources that benefit the few and not the many. Worse yet, the vast losses sustained by the many that end up affecting us all. We don't need to see that. We live it. The world is a greedy and nasty place, to be quite honest. And the world lusts for power. The power is only ever exercised over people, though. If you look around you, either across the oceans or even in our own country, that power seems to be directed so that it can be exercised over individuals. The power that has entrapped the human spirit and has brought so many things such as injustice and pain and conflict. The tempter has been and will continue to be active on many fronts in this world. It is sad. The response of so many people today to the tempter is, it sounds like this. Yes, sir. I'll do that. That's a sad state of affairs in a world truly governed by the power of God, but yet humanized the way it is through man. But what was and what is God's response to the temptations to acquire and oftentimes misuse power that seems to influence and rule this world? What is His response? What is God trying to tell me and you? Well, here's the answer. The Holy Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness where He was exposed to great vulnerability and weakness. You see, He was baptized. The heavens opened and He was bestowed the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that has been given to each one of us today. Remember that God chose to enter the world in human form, in complete powerlessness and weakness as a child. As such, our Savior's human story ends in complete powerlessness as He is crucified on the cross. Thus, His powerlessness at the manger leads directly to His powerlessness in the wilderness and thus takes us all the way to His death. The power of the world through the simplicity of God's creation and gift of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit given to Him the day of His baptism, that power has exposed this world. The power of the world is exposed to the point of a folly. It's a joke. God appears among us in what seems to be weakness to unmask all the illusion, danger, and greed of a world of power, or so we believe. Jesus did just that. And when we seek God and surrender to Him, we should not mistakenly misunderstand our faith. Our faith, to a degree, will shield and insulate us and help us through temptation, but temptation will befall us. Jesus' experience with the tempter stands as a fair and timely warning to all of us that temptation will likely follow me and you. It's already brought you here today through actions of your lives. We have all been tempted in some form or fashion. However, remember, God uses such trials in our lives to remind us that we need Him always. In closing, for that which seems powerless and weak to the world is the ultimate power that transforms darkness into light. You see, humans believe they have power over one another. We are truly powerless because the power comes from God Almighty. It transforms darkness into light. It transforms the wilderness into a place of great beauty. And it even transforms death into life. This is the power of God, shown to us in the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Today we experience the transforming power of love, justice, and equity that heals all wounds, that bridges rivers of misunderstanding, that connects people together, even people we simply do not even know. This week we talked about our role in Bible study as we continue to study the book of Acts. We discussed our discipleship and its importance. And I believe I use these words. It's our duty, as I did this morning, to carry out and live God's message. It's our duty, it's our obligation to Him to carry out this faith. Walk in it, share it, give it, live it. And here's one of the reasons that I say that this morning, and I said it then. As disciples, we believe in the transforming love and hope of what we look forward to in weeks to come, known to be Easter, to which we are called to prepare for and look forward to. Even as we stand in the world of sin, even as we are tempted in the Lenten wilderness of life, you and I and every believer have hope. And in that hope is our future. That hope is truly our DNA. Each of us have been filled with that gift of the Holy Spirit. Make no mistake. Make no mistake at all. We are the people of light and hope and faith in the resurrection, which brings forth a new life, eternal, tomorrow and in the days to come. Today, disciples of Jesus hold that light close to their hearts. We carry and spread the hope found within our hearts to this world. We shower our faith like a spring rain on those around us, and we use our words and our actions even to those we do not know, and bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ through our efforts. Carry out your duty is the order, only to give glory and honor to God. This is not for our self purpose. This is not to be selfish with what we have been given. It is to share it in the glory of God. I recall the fact that Jesus was given the Holy Spirit, and thus He went into the wilderness. He spent time with the devil himself, and He was victorious. Friends, this is the same Holy Spirit that you've been given. It is the same Spirit that we walk with today, that we share with each other this morning in this ministry. And thus, with that Spirit in us, we gain all the authority and power to become Christ-like. But we do that with all humility, that God be to the glory. The tempter is weak in the presence of the truly faithful. We see that in the story of Mark. Even in the greatest of temptations, we are stronger than the tempter. God hasn't lost a battle yet. And He sure didn't lose the one in the wilderness. I leave you with this thought in the wilderness of the temptations of your lives. Remember, your wilderness is longer than 40 days. So I leave you with this thought. If you truly believe, as I do, that you are gifted with the same Holy Spirit that sent Jesus into the wilderness, then hear these final words of this message. Leave this place with this thought this morning. God does not give you what you can handle. Now, I know you've been told differently, but God doesn't give you what you can handle. God helps us handle what we have been given. And thus we are given the Holy Spirit. God helps us with what we have been given. Jesus didn't break in the wilderness. And gifted with the Holy Spirit and the presence of our Lord and Savior in your lives, nor will you break. To God be all the glory. Amen.